right, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to you for this fresh morning. Thank you for another opportunity to hear the word of God. We are praying, Lord, that you will grant us grace. We pray for the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for the gift of teaching to come strong upon me, O God, as I share the word with your people in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Wow. Hallelujah. All right. So let's continue from where I left off last week. But let's start with Mark chapter 4 and verse 25. Let's read Mark chapter 4, verse 25. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want to remind you before I start that our camp meeting with our Papa Bishop Dad is happening live. Amen. Amen. And we're going to Atlanta to the CNN Center. Wow. Omni Hotel CNN Center. Right. It's a beautiful place. You have to be there. But more important is the camp meeting itself. And I really want you to invest some money in yourself, in your spirituality, and come with us to Atlanta. I promise you, it's going to make a big difference in your life. Big difference or your money back. Hallelujah. I know that for sure. It's very easy for me to say that. I'll even give you back your airfare. Easy. Very easy. Hallelujah. So I want you to plan to attend it. The dates, June 29th to July 2nd. That is July 4th week. Okay, the week that, you know, becomes July 4th. So I am sure that you'll be able to get some time off. Talk to your boss. Talk to your boss's wife. Talk to your, you know, anyone you need to. Your boss's mother. Walk his dog. Feed his cat. Do anything you have to do to get permission from your boss. Amen. So he can let you off for this very, very important meeting. Because I know, if you've been to a camp before, you know that no one goes into that kind of atmosphere and comes back the same. Amen. And I know that God will meet us there, and we will not be the same as a church. We will not be the same as individuals. We will not be the same as married couples. We will not be the same as students. No matter who you are, God will find you somewhere. Amen. And he will meet you at the point of need and relevance. Amen. Amen. So don't forget, June 29th, ask your neighbor, what are the dates? Ask your neighbor, what are the dates? What did he say? Not June 4th. June 29th to July 2nd. Everybody say June 29th. To July 2nd. Okay. All right. So that's for us. And of course, after that, you can take a vacation, you know, and tour Atlanta. If you fly all that way, you might as well get to know what Atlanta is about. Amen. So you can hang out there for another day or so, but come back here for Sunday morning because I'll be waiting for you here. All right. Amen. Great. So Mark chapter 4 and verse 25. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Hallelujah. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. Hallelujah. Only Jesus can make such profound statements and get away with it. If you were a government and you were the president and you made such a rule and announced that, you know, let's say you're running your political campaign and you're trying to win elections And then when you stand up on the platform, you say, look, when I come into power, this is going to be my philosophy. He that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. That will be the end of your elections. No one is going to vote for you. Hallelujah. But Jesus gets to say such things because he has the power and authority to make statements like this, which reflects what really happens in life. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we are a young church and we are trying to have. Amen. Anyone who is trying to have anything, anyone who is pursuing anything must learn the art of getting things. Wow. Must learn the rules and the principles that govern having. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Not only have a desire to have, but you must also be familiar with the rules and the principles that govern the art of having. Amen. Amen. So whether you're trying to have church members, or you're trying to have a job, or trying to have prosperity, or trying to have good health, or trying to have a house, or a family, or a car, whatever you're trying to have, an education, the principles are the same. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, to him that hath, for he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he has. Hallelujah. So all around us, we see this at work. We see that people who have tend to have more. Those who have tend to have more. And those who don't have tend to lose even what they have. You know, so it's easier for a situation to go from bad to worse than to go from bad to better or good. Do you see? Yeah. And it's easier to go from good to better than to go from good to bad. Hallelujah. And God is showing us today the principles behind it and why it is so. It sounds unfair, but it is true. And we are trying to understand this. Amen. Amen. Now let's read another verse from 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter, I'm sorry, chapter 1 and verse 5. Let's start from verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, 2 Peter. Okay. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Did you see that? Yeah. According as his divine power has given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Hallelujah. So God has called us to glory and virtue. Amen. Tell your neighbor, things are getting better. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God has called us to glory and to virtue. He has not called us to embarrassment and to disgrace, but he has called us to make us more beautiful than we are. Hallelujah. Now, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Okay. So see, just observe how the whole thing is building itself up. First, he tells us that God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. Anything that is relevant to life and relevant to godliness, God has given to us. Amen. Then in verse 4, he says, the keys we use to access these things is, the keys are the promises in the scriptures. Anything God has promised in the scripture is a way or a key by which we access the things he has given to us. Do you see? The things that pertain to life and godliness. Okay? So you need the keys to be able to access those things. But now, after you've got the keys, verse 5, it says, beside this, that means beside the keys. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. In addition to the keys, giving all diligence, you can now begin to add. Wow. Hallelujah. Wow. You must add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, verse 6, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Okay, and verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, that means in addition to the keys, the promises, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you will neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means it is not enough to have a promise from God. But in addition to the promise, you need to add a number of things, isn't it? You need to add a number of things, for if you have those things and these things abound in you, those things prevent barrenness or emptiness or fruitlessness or having nothing. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is those things we are trying to study. We're trying to study the things that help people to have what they are looking for. Because some people think that so long as you have a strong dream to have something, you will have it. But a lot of people dream and dream and dream and dream and dream until they pass out. Do you see? Yeah. And there's some people who dream all their lives. They never wake up. Yeah. 10 years ago, they were dreaming. Today, they are still dreaming. And 10 years from now, they will still be dreaming. Because it takes more than a dream. Hallelujah. It takes more than a dream. I mean, you take someone who is dreaming and wishing that, you know, one day I'm going to have my master's degree and I'm going to, you know, do well. And the person just sits around, just dreaming every day. In fact, writing it down like lines, you know, and writing every day a number of lines, I'm going to have my master's degree. Then after that, turns on the television and starts to watch basketball and starts to watch soap operas and then starts to watch something else, the news, and we'll move from CNN to ABC, then ABC to back to CNN, you know, to catch what CNN is saying and catch the ABC version of it and bring it back to CNN, you know, and then go back to see the score on the basketball thing. And then after that, take the sheet and start write another line. I will have my master's degree. That's not the way to have a master's degree. Are you getting what I'm saying? So he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first of those things is diligence, as we were studying last week. That after you've got the keys, which is the promises of God. You see, everything begins with a promise from God. Anything you want, look in the Bible for a promise from God. Something that, a verse that promises you that thing. Hallelujah. Your best prayers are the prayers that are based on a promise in the scripture. Now, once you find the promise, you have the key. And the Bible says God has giving us all things. That means he has already, if you like, used the word allocated us all those things that pertain to life and godliness. So picture that those things are in a room, let's say in the theater across from here, that God has given us, he has set those things aside in our name and has given you the key that lets you into that place. But now with the keys, he's saying that you need to start with diligence. Hallelujah. You need to have diligence, which we defined last week as the ability to. It says, diligence is the persistent and relentless effort by an individual to solve a problem or overcome difficulties and to accomplish great things. Have you ever had the right key to a door, but you put it in and it won't just open?
Wow.
And you thought you had the wrong key. And you tried all the other keys on the bunch and realized that the first one is actually the right key. You have the right key, but it's not opening the door just by putting it in and turning it. And if you see some of those doors that need some little push while you're turning the key, some of the doors that need to be lifted up a little bit when they're turning the key, because it's not just the key. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not just the key. It is the key plus diligence. Hallelujah. So you see, someone who knows how it works comes and says, is the door not opening? And you say, no, it's not opening. Really? Then they take the key. Then they look at it. They think it's the right key. They put it back in. Then they start to shake the thing a little bit. And they twist it a little bit. Then they move that hand a little bit. That is diligence. That's someone who is being persistent with the thing and turning it until you have the key in the right place. Then suddenly the door opens and responds to that key. Are you getting what I'm saying? But commonly in life, you find people who are not prepared to do anything but just to have a key. They just have the key, but they don't want to add anything to the key. They won't even do as much as bring the left hand to hold the door. Sometimes the left hand is holding something else that is more precious to them than what they are trying to do. And because they are not willing to set that thing down, they don't get a good grip on the door and apply the key in a proper way to be able to have the results they want. So you see someone comes in, they're holding maybe a cup of ice cream, or they're holding a can of Coke or something they're sipping on, which they find so precious that they think they can just be sipping and just use one hand just to apply the key. You have the right key, but you need to put that Coke down. And sometimes we have all kinds of things in our lives that we need to set down. Sometimes we have dysfunctional relationships we need to set down. You need to put that thing down. This relationship, you need to put it down like that. And grab the key properly. And shut your eyes. Sometimes we have bad habits that we need to set down and apply the key properly to the door. He says you need to do it. It responds to diligence. It is not unusual that you will encounter a problem when you're trying to do something. Most things go with some difficulty. To be able to do any good thing, anything that will help you, anything that will benefit you, you have to overcome difficulty. You think of what a woman has to go through to have a baby. You're already pregnant. The baby has been growing for 9 months. It's ready for the baby to come out. If you don't add diligence, it's not happening. You would have thought that, you know, after the baby is grown and it's time to come, the baby should just come. But it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't happen like that. You need diligence, persistent effort to overcome difficulties. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody in this church must have a determination to overcome difficulties. Amen. Overcome anything that stands between you and what you are trying to have. Hallelujah. Amen. You must overcome anything that is standing between you and what you're trying to have. Because God never said that his promise alone will guarantee something for you. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, a lot of people read the Bible and they see promises in the Bible, but they do not experience them in their lives. And they feel like the Bible is not true. But the Bible is true. Amen. The Bible is true. You just have to read it carefully. It says that God has allocated, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And has given us precious promises that by these we might become partakers of that divine nature. You see, he has called us to glory and to virtue. So because of that, giving number one, diligence, you start to add to your faith. And that's the way you build on into the things that God has for us. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So let me share with you four things that diligence will do for you. Number one is diligence is the personal trait that makes a person rich. Hallelujah. He that hath, the one who has, how do they get to have? What are the traits in a person that makes them have whatever they are looking for? One of them is diligence. And we're saying diligence works because, number one, diligence makes a person rich. Now, look at this verse. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 4. It says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Did you see that? He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Do you see? Now, the verse we started with, Mark chapter 4 and verse 25 said, he that hath not, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Do you understand? Now, he becometh poor. Sounds like something is being taken from someone. It sounds like someone who used to have maybe not so much is losing even what they have. It looks like there is a transfer. It looks like someone who probably was not even poor before is now entering into poverty.
Wow.
Can you see the arrow that's going into poverty?
Yeah.
Yeah, you picture an arrow at the TH. That's where the arrow is. Okay. It says, he becometh poor. Listen, you can become poor. If you think you are poor as you are, I want you to know that it can actually get worse. It can get worse. He says, he becometh poor. What is making the person poor? Because he deals or works with a slack hand. You know, a hand that will not firm itself up. A slack hand, a hand that just kind of hangs loosely, will not take a firm grip, will not get a hold of anything with seriousness. You know, it's just hanging there waiting for things to come to it. A hand that will not hold anything, just wants things to come and hold it. And the Bible says, if you live like that, you will become poor. No matter how much inheritance is left for you, you can become poor. No matter how much is given to you, you can become poor. No matter how many people, even as a church, no matter how many people come through here, if we deal with a slack hand, we are going to become poor. Yeah. Poor simply means the state of not having enough to meet your needs. Hallelujah. But look at the verse. It says, the hand of the diligent, it makes him rich. So again, you can see an arrow. You can see that around the TH, someone is becoming something he wasn't before. You see, someone is becoming rich. someone is becoming rich. Someone is beginning to have a lot of something he didn't have so much of before. And the difference is diligence. Says the hand of the diligent, a person who is diligent, a person who is relentless, a person who says, yes, there's an obstacle, but I'm going to force. I'm going to press on. A person who says, I will not take no for an answer. A person who says, yes, I'm going to do it. I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to try. The person is going to have, and he will be rich. Amen. If you look around, you see that all rich people are very diligent people. When you go to any successful business, any successful company, the ones who earn the lowest in the company are the ones who come to work sometimes the latest and they leave the earliest. Yeah. You have people who arrive at the office with the mentality to do as little as is necessary to earn what they have to earn. And they work all day looking at the time and watching to see if it's time to take a break. You know, and they cannot believe that it's still not lunchtime. They've been working for 2 hours, and 2 hours feels like they've been working all day. And so they look at the watch and they can't believe it's not lunchtime. They check with their neighbor, what's your time? And they are surprised that the neighbor's time is the same as theirs. Because they don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. You look at the work they do and it's so lousy, it's so shoddy. No one finds any reason to add anything to you. Do you understand? No one can find a reason to increase your salary. No one can find a reason even to give you additional responsibility. You know, a salary is an employer's response to your effort. It's an employer's response to what you're doing. And the better you are at what you do, the greater the response. Wow. And with time, you see the response keeps changing and changing and changing. Because the value of what you're doing seems to be going up and up and up. Hallelujah. So if you don't have a good attitude towards work, if you go to work and you can't wait to get out of the place, and you won't do anything extra. Once it doesn't fit into your job description, you don't touch it. Wow. You see that God has blessed you with a job, but that by itself does not make you rich. Wow. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. You see that God has blessed you with a job, but you're not doing very, very well. Hallelujah. He says, the person who deals with a slack hand, that person becomes poor. He becomes poor. But the one who works with diligence, the one who keeps knocking on doors and says, I'll try again. I'll try another one. I'll do it one more time. I'm going to try it again. I'm going to do this again. I'm going to apply myself to it. Instead of the one who sits there and says, come and take me. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. If you're in a relationship, you have to try. You have to try. I was just sharing with a friend of mine this morning, you know, and I was just telling him, because he was having some issues, you know, with his wife also, and he was telling me all the problems, and I said, listen, what is your aim? Your aim is to live at peace with this person. He said, yes. Then I said to him, and when we spoke, she said clearly what her issues are. So, why don't you at least say, I'm going to try. Amen. Okay, I asked him, did you hear her clearly? He said, yes, I heard her. I said, great. The things she's asking for, they are not very expensive. They won't cost you a lot to do it. It's not physical things, but what I was saying is that sometimes you can be dealing with someone who is asking for impossible things. Do you get it? People are that unreasonable. I tell you. What the person is asking for. I mean, you can't even believe a human being can think up such a thing. But this person, what she was asking for, I said, this you can do. You can really do this. And it won't cost you anything. You can afford to do this. So do it. Do you see? And he said, I've done this before. It didn't. I said, try again. You have to try it. You have to try. Try again. Just try again. Because people who back down, you see, a slack hand is a hand that gets tired so easily. You see, when you apply a little pressure, and then it just starts to collapse. See, this hand does not bring anything to anyone. Have you tried to lift something, let's say a cup, and you realize you don't have a good grip on it? And the cup is not coming. It's not responding. Because, you know, things don't just respond because you touch them. And you see that the person who is able to pull that thing out is the one who adjusts their hold and their grip on the thing and firms up the hand and grabs the thing and yanks it from the place. And usually that cup that wouldn't go responds to it. Hallelujah. Many things that are not flying into your life are actually held somewhere by something. And until you are prepared to apply some pressure and apply some yanking. You see, as a church, if we want to grow, we need to apply some spiritual pressure.
Amen.
Because a church is a spiritual thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow. A church is a spiritual thing. We need to yank souls in the realm of the spirit with prayer.
Amen.
Do you understand? Yeah. And relentless invitations and carrying people to church. I'm coming to get you. Hallelujah. That is how you get people into church. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Right. Yes. If you're raising kids, you will not do well with a slack hand. You know, there's some people who are controlled by little children. The little child says she won't eat. Then she won't eat. Because the mother cannot make that little four-year-old do what the mother wants her or him to do. She's dealing with a slack hand. But diligent people say, what? You will not eat? Come here. Like the kind of woman who raised me. Yeah. It was her way. Always. You had no will as a kid. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent, it makes him rich. Amen. If you're serious, you'll do well.
Amen.
If you're serious, you'll do well. Sometimes it's hard to find a job. But if you apply to enough places, someone will consider you one of these days. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Someone will consider you one of these days. You only need one person to agree with you. You only need one person. It's just that there are so many people, and finding that one person takes diligence. You just need one person who likes you. One person who agrees that you can do the job. And that one person exists. Is whether you will search long enough to find him. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you going to be out there long enough looking for that one person? Because that one person exists.
Amen.
There's a job somewhere for you. There's a breakthrough somewhere for you. And if you will be diligent, God will lead you eventually to that place. And you will have what God has ordained for you to have. Say amen.
Amen.
Right. Number two. Diligence is the personal trait that makes a person a leader. Wow. Yeah. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24. There are only 4 points today. Amen. So we're already halfway through. Diligence is the personal trait that makes a person a leader. Can you see that?
Yeah.
The hand of the diligent, again, can you see? Shall bear rule. But the slothful shall be under tribute. The slothful shall be under tribute. To be under tribute means you are obligated to someone. But the hand of the diligent, he is in charge. Amen. He is in charge. So the Bible says, if you are diligent, you will become a boss. You will be in charge of something. Diligence will promote you. Not just certificates. Do you see what I'm saying? Certificates don't make people bosses. Certificates just show you which door you can knock on. Do you understand what I'm saying? But certificates don't necessarily admit you into the place. Amen.
Amen.
Certificates, like when you come to this place and you want to use the restroom, you see two doors down the hallway there, and there's one that has a picture of a lady and the one that has a picture of a guy. A certificate helps you identify which of the doors you belong to. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So once you go to school and you get a certain certificate, you know that I'm allowed to knock on this door versus that door. But after that, diligence is what takes over. It's how much diligence did you bring to this door? If you came to this door with a slack hand, then right before this door, you'll be waiting for the one that's coming to be in charge of you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you are diligent, what will happen is in this door, there are other people who are also dealing with a slack hand, and they are waiting for you to come and look after them. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
So if you are diligent, you become a leader. If you're diligent, you become a boss. If you're diligent, you will have some people that you lead. You will be ahead of everyone. And that will put many people under you. Hallelujah. And you will lead many people and be a blessing to their lives. I see you becoming leaders in the name of Jesus. I see you becoming a leader at your workplace. I see you becoming one of your boss's favorites. I see many people looking up to you. But diligence is what will bring all of that to you. Can I have an amen? Tell somebody, don't be lazy. You see the word slack. Slack means loose.
Yeah.
You see, slack, slothful, poor. They seem to be in the same family.
Yeah.
So one is firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, something like that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are different names, different first names for the same last name family. The last name is he that hath not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So lazy people will be under tribute.
Wow.
Amen. Don't always look to do the least you can do.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
If you want to find favor with your boss, you see, a boss, look at it this way. A boss is always trying to find someone who will do a bit more than he has to pay for.
Amen.
So if you are an employee who is also trying to do a bit less than you are being paid for, you and the boss don't meet. You see, you are not likely to be his favorite. You are not likely to get promoted. But if you change your philosophy at work to coincide with his, he's trying to find someone who is willing to do a bit extra. Do you see? The person is prepared to do a bit more than what the boss is paying for. And the person also says, I'm going to do a bit more than what he's paying me for. The boss and you meet. And that makes you one of his favorites. Then he starts to promote you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Number three. Diligence is the personal trait that makes a person have ideas that lead to abundance and wealth. You're going to like this verse. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5. Have you found that? He says, the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Wow. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to righteousness. That's another one of the first names, but this is the first name of he that hath. Plenteousness. Plenteousness. The thoughts of the diligent, that means the ideas of diligent people, only lead to prosperity and plenteousness. Plenteousness. Wow. The thoughts of the diligent. If you are diligent, God will give you ideas that bring wealth. God will bring you thoughts, things that you can do that bring wealth, that cause you to multiply. God gives people ideas. God gives people wisdom. Wisdom that makes them excel. Hallelujah. Have you read Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17? Let's read Daniel 1, 17. Daniel 1 and verse 17. It says, As for these four children, Daniel chapter, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now read verse 20, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times. See, here's a boss who's talking to people who work for him. And the Bible says, in all matters of wisdom and understanding, and any time the boss wanted their opinion on something, he found these guys, these are the ones we just read about, that God had given them wisdom and understanding. Do you see? And the king found that these guys, they always had ideas that yielded 10 times the results of their colleagues. Do you see? He says he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers. You know, those are old words for scientists. All the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Hallelujah. He found these guys to be 10 times better. You know, every idea. Anytime the king had a meeting and was discussing something, how to increase productivity, how to fix a problem, how to solve something, the king always found these guys possessing ideas, bringing ideas and thoughts that seemed to lead to plenteousness. Do you see? Plenteousness. 10 times better. 10 times better. Amen. Do you understand? 10 times better. Better means the one before it is good. Do you see? The one before it is good. It's not bad. It's good. Someone has a good idea. But here you come, because of diligence, with an idea that is 10 times better. Is anyone surprised that you have been promoted? Because your ideas are always 10 times better. Yeah. And every employer will like an employee who makes him 10 times richer. Who increases net sales by 10 times. Who brings an idea that makes them sell 10 things instead of one. That makes them sell 10 more cars, makes them sell 10 more houses, makes them sell 10 more of anything. Every boss will be happy with such a person. Amen. Or someone who makes the work 10 times easier. Yeah. 10 times easier. Someone who makes them or brings an idea, you know, that helps them to finish a job that would have taken 10 hours to finish. 2 working days, that job will be finished in just 1 hour. Wow. You become their favorite. Yeah. Yeah. And of course, when you ask for time off to attend the camp in Atlanta, they're going to give it to you. Yeah. Wow. Amen. 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 Sometimes the reason why people don't get time off is, you know, the boss is just thinking, look at him again. Lazy boy. He's looking for another opportunity to go. Where did he say he's going? He said his church is having this. So, yeah, he's into church picnics. He's not serious.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Look, God will give you ideas that lead to plenteousness. Hallelujah. These guys got their... Look at verse 17 again. Go back to verse 17. verse 17, it says, as for these four children, God gave them. Everybody say, God gave them. Say, God gave them. God gave them. And God will give to you. I see God giving you ideas that will make your relationship 10 times better. Ideas that will make you 10 times better than your colleagues. God will give you those ideas. The thoughts of the diligent lead to plenteousness. Lead to plenteousness. But look at the other person. He says, the one who is hasty. You see, there are some people who don't like to work. They just like the thing to happen fast. Do you see? Yeah. He says, but of everyone that is hasty, their thoughts lead only to want. Where have you? 21 verse 5. Proverbs 20, is it there? Yeah. It says, but of everyone, that's the thoughts of everyone that is hasty, they lead only to want. You see, they lead only to a shortage. Even what you had, you're going to lose. Yeah. By not wanting to work, just want a shortcut to something. You know, sometimes you see people, someone has cultivated a relationship, you know, worked on it for years, and you just come around the corner and just slide, you know, in yourself into the place because you think you're smarter, you know. But such things don't lead to any lasting relationship that brings a blessing to anyone. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So it's important for us to be people who are diligent. Our thoughts alone, just our ideas, are going to bring us plenty. Amen. Plenty people. Plenty souls in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If we are diligent, God will give us ideas to fill the church. Amen. Ideas how to win souls, how to invite people, who to invite, who to bring along. God is going to give us ideas that will fill his house. Can I have an amen? Amen. Then finally, diligence is the personal trait that leads to promotion. 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 Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 9. These are some powerful verses we're reading today. And I hope you go home and read these verses. Make them your friend. Do you understand? Yeah, instead of having quotations from Julius Caesar and Adolf Hitler and such people, isn't it? Yeah, you have these scriptures on your walls and it will bless your life. Amen? All right. What does it say here? Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 29. He says, seest thou a man diligent in his business? You know, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Seest thou a man diligent in his business? Have you seen someone, he says, have you seen someone who is serious in his business, what he's doing, he's diligent? That means he's relentless. It means he will not accept no. It means he does not give up easily. It means he does not say they don't like me. How do you apply to a job 1, 2, 3 and you say nobody likes me? No one is obligated to have you. Do you see what I'm saying? No one owes you a job. You have to make a case for yourself. And sometimes, even the case you make is how many times you've been trying. Sometimes the strongest case you can make to someone is how many times you have tried to get this thing. And they look at you, the fact that you've tried it so many times and you're not in pieces. The fact that you're able to put yourself back together again and come and stand at another door and knock. That itself is a credential.
Wow.
That itself is a qualification. How many places have you applied to? Well, I've applied to about 50 different places.
Wow.
This is the 51st one.
Wow.
That itself. See, you may think that someone will say there must be something wrong with you. That's why 50 people don't want you. But those people themselves are not very smart. A person who knows what he wants probably will say now that a person who is able to try 51 times and is still standing, that person has something.
Amen.
That can be very useful to what we're doing here. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. And he says, a person who is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. He will stand before important people. That means he will be promoted to a high place. I see you being promoted to a high place. God is going to lift you up at your workplace. God is going to lift you up in your life. He says, if you are diligent, you will stand before kings, important people. God will promote you. Because promotion comes from God.
Yeah.
The Bible says it is God who lifts people up.
Yeah.
Psalm 75 and verse 6, it says promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west. Look at it. Psalm 75 and verse 6. It says, for promotion cometh neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. So it means it's from where? Is from the north. Hallelujah. Promotion doesn't come from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Then look at the next verse, verse 7. But God is he is the judge. That means God is in the north. Hallelujah. God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Hallelujah. God puts someone down, says, you, come down, come down. It's enough. You go down. Yeah. And then God sets up another person and says, you go up.
Wow.
And one of the attractions to God is diligence.
Amen.
The verse we read before is explaining to us what criteria God uses to determine who gets to go up and who stays down. And that criteria is diligence. Amen. If you want to add anything to your life, you're going to need diligence.
Amen.
Otherwise, you are stuck where you are. You are stuck with what you've got. You are stuck with the way things are. And nothing is going to change. For anything to change, you have to keep working at it. You have to keep working at it. You have to keep working at your marriage. You have to keep working at your relationships. You have to keep talking, keep trying, keep making the efforts, keep trying, keep trying. You have to keep working with your children. You have to keep working with your schoolwork.
Amen.
You don't give up. You don't try something and try a subject and maybe don't do so well once or twice. I'm not good at this. No, that's not how it works. You're good at it.
Amen.
You are good at it. You just haven't applied diligence. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Many people who apply diligence are surprised at how good they are at something.
Wow.
Hallelujah. If you talk about basketball players and golfers and so, you know, one time I was reading about Tiger Woods. I was surprised when I read that Tiger Woods hits something like some outrageous number of balls every day. Like 1,000 or 3,000 balls every day. Like he's practicing his golf swing.
Wow.
And he goes to hit a number of them in the morning, a number of them in the afternoon, a number of them in the evening. In the thousands.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So when you see that the person has become a champion, it looks like, oh, he's just somebody strolling around with a hobby and he's becoming a millionaire. It doesn't work that way for anyone. Hallelujah. We just read it. Wealth answers to diligence. It is diligent people that get to be rich.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so as he works on it and works on it and works on it and works on it, it's no surprise that he can play some of the shots he has played and amused all of us, you know, makes us wonder what we are doing in the game. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we're getting there.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're getting there. We're becoming diligent. And I see that as you apply diligence, you need to apply diligence to your church attendance.
That's right.
You have to be diligent. You have to overcome obstacles.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
You have to overcome things that come. Sometimes you oversleep. One day Paul overslept. Do you remember?
Hey!
Hey!
It was a good day.
We were waiting in the church for Paul to come and lead the worship in the church. He wasn't coming. He wasn't coming. We called his phone. We called everything we could call, every number, text, everything, WhatsApp. There was no Paul. Then somewhere in the course of the preaching, just before I finished, the door opens and here comes Paul. He said, "Oh man, I overslept." You know, but I was particularly impressed that, you know, he woke up and thought, "Listen, I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to go to church anyway. I'm going to go to church anyway." And he came to church. You know, and he received what, double prayers that day, right? Yes. Yeah. Amen. But another person would just give up. Some people just wake up and just look at the time. "Oh, I'm already late. Next week. That's a slack hand. Don't be surprised if you don't have spiritual maturity. Don't be surprised if you even backslide. Even what you have, you start to lose it. Don't be surprised when you don't feel so strong against the forces of darkness and spiritual powers that are working against you and fighting you every day. Because you are not becoming stronger as a Christian. Because where your Christianity is concerned, you're dealing with a slack hand. Amen. You're dealing with a slack hand concerning reading the Bible. No wonder you don't know any verses in the Bible. Do you understand? But the devil likes to know what verses do you know. He wants to know if you really know your Bible. He wants to know if you are really confident about the things you are asking God for. Because the devil knows that faith is what it takes to get anything from God. And for him to work against that, he has to sow doubt in your mind. So he has to come and test your faith by throwing in a doubt. And if you're not solid in the scriptures and not solid in your understanding of the promises, remember, the Bible says it is the promises that help us access the things that God has laid in store for us. And when you're not strong in them, the devil is able to bring doubt. You see, you are praying, but you don't really believe that God is going to do or is able to do anything. Hallelujah. But I see God changing that in your life. And I see that changing in Jesus' name. You're going to be diligent. You overcome the obstacles, overcome every difficulty, overcome the things that present themselves. Hallelujah. Overcome. Sometimes you wake up with back pain. "Oh, today just back pain, no church." Wake up and straighten your back by the grace of God and say, "I'm going to church anyway." You see, those things are going to leave you. Amen. They're going to leave you. They're going to leave you. A lot of little things that trouble you, they will leave you. Amen. Because they realize that they cannot win anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Say, "I will be diligent." Amen. Say, "I will be diligent." In fact, say, "I'm a diligent person." Tell your neighbor, "I am one of the most diligent people you ever met. Take a good look at me." Yeah. Yeah. And tell your neighbor, "I will not give up easily. I will not give up. I will not give up. I'm just going to press on." Amen. You're trying to break or overcome a habit. Press on. Be diligent. Amen. Don't give up. Tell all your friends what you're trying to do. Tell them, "If you catch me doing this, tell me." Tell it to this person. Tell it to that person. And you see, you have to tell it to people who are not afraid of you. Amen. People who are not afraid to confront you. You're trying to stop a habit. You need to tell someone, "I'm trying to stop this." And that person needs to have power over you. Do you understand? Tell that person, "You have the power. If you see me eating this again, come and yank it from me. Come and just remove it." Yeah. Diligence is what it will take to have victory. And I see you having it in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. Wow. Just bow your heads, everybody, and pray for just 2 minutes or even just a minute. Just pray for yourself and say, "Lord, I want you to give me a spirit of diligence. The kind of diligence that makes people rich. The kind of diligence that makes people leaders. The kind of diligence that leads to plenteousness. And the kind of diligence that makes people stand before kings. That maybe it is because of the lack or the absence of diligence that you are surrounded by so many mean people. That you are surrounded by so many difficult people. Wicked and unreasonable people have filled your life. Because you're not diligent. So you're not in the right company. But diligence will put you in the right company. Diligence will cause you to be surrounded by the right people. If you take your work seriously, if you take the church work seriously, if we start to evangelize seriously, if we start to invite people seriously, if we start to pray seriously, diligence will change our company and it will put us in the midst of good people. Good people. Good people. In the name of Jesus. So pray that God will help you. Say, Lord, please help me. In the name of Jesus. Lord, help me to be diligent. That no place is too far. No place is too far. Nothing is too much to do. I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. I can do it. Diligence will help you greatly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your strength today. And we thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Now, finally, as we close the service, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, pray with me. Because I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be sure that I'm born again. I want to be sure that if I die today, I will go to heaven. I want to be sure that if Jesus comes again tonight, I will not go to hell. I'm going to go to heaven. I want my sins to be forgiven. And I want to be able to live for God. If you're here and that is your prayer, if that is the message on your hearts this afternoon, I want you to raise up your right hand quietly while every eye is closed and I will pray for you. Just raise up your right hand very quietly and I'll pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Is there anybody here who wants to give your life to Jesus? I see your hand. God bless you. Is there anybody else who wants to give your life to Jesus today? I'm saying, Lord, I want a new life. I want to be sure that I'll have a relationship with you. Just raise up your right hand. Anybody else who wants to say this prayer with me? I want to pray for you. I believe today is your day of salvation. God has brought you here and God wants to minister to you today. I want you to raise up your right hand. I'll pray with you. Thank you, Lord. All right. God bless you. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? Just say this prayer. Keep your hand up. Just say this prayer. I want everybody just join them as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Say, I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth God raised you from the dead. Say, come into my heart. Please forgive my sins. Say, Lord Jesus, only you can save me. Only your blood can wash away my sins. So come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. And help me live for you. Help me to live for you, Jesus. Help me to live for you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Now let me pray for you. Father, thank you for everyone who has prayed this prayer with meaning. I thank you, Lord, for your plans for their lives. The Bible says, he that comes to you, you will in no wise cast out. I pray, Lord, that you will touch their lives and help them to live for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. In Jesus' name.